The infant, named Margaret, had hair on her head, thick and wild as a fire, and three times as red. The midwife, a brawny and capable whelper, gave one look and crossed herself. "God above help her," she whispered, but gave the new mother a smile. "A big, healthy girl, now you rest for a while." But later that night, with her husband in bed, the midwife gave free and full voice to her dread. "I tell you, that girl's in the grip of dark forces. This August her husband died, trampled by horses. She herself works on the packaging floor, but she'll be on her back for a fortnight or more. And as for the plant, they will take her back, maybe. A fat lot of good is a girl with a baby. Her story's too sad, sure, I almost can't bear it. 19-year-old widow, no family of merit. Her mother's an idiot, the father a souse, who drank away all of their money, their house. You've seen girls like that, who must go it alone. By age 25, she's a withered old crone. Even now, she's as pale as a thing stuck with leeches, and thin. Her dugs ought to be ripe, swelling peaches. Her milk may not come, and what comes will be gall. She gets some food from the St. Vincent de Paul. But true, if you ask me, I don't know what's worse, a life full of want or a babe that's a curse. You know me. I think that most infants are fair. But I've never seen so much Lucifer's hair. She'll grow to a strumpet, or else a virago. Outside, thunder tore through the clouds of Chicago and sundered the air that was needled with sleet, although it washed clean the aroma of meat that clung to the neighborhood's mortar and bricks and puddled up into the greasy wet slicks that, once dry, would once again smell of old blood. To be truly clean would require Noah's flood. Otherwise, always the smell of old carrion, deep as a well and as loud as a clarion. The stockyards were too big. Each day brought a fresh onslaught of slaughter and smell of dead flesh. "You hear that?" the midwife continued. "This birth is bad news, proclaimed by both heaven and earth." Margaret grew quickly, a biddable child, not overly sick, her temperament mild. As a baby, her mother would sneak her to work. The foremen thought brats caused the women to shirk, and so she'd stay hidden, quite comfortably swaddled, in a nest of their overcoats. All the girls coddled her, stealing a kiss, till they had to go back to their place at the table, where daily they'd pack up the loins and the roasts, all the parts of the cattle and pigs who'd been carved up, like corpses at battle. Frankie, dubbed Finn McCool after the giant of myth, had his size and was just as defiant. Big as a draft horse and strong as a steer, Frank had his enemies quaking in fear. The tales of his strength and his temper abounded, and God help the soul who might think them unfounded. If Frank said that one time in Wichita, Kansas, he'd killed a man who had addressed him as Francis, or how at the Somme he had taken a bullet, and with his bare hands he had managed to pull it straight out of his flesh, more's the pity for you if you dared to venture. But, Frank, that's not true. Even the foremen were slow to upbraid him, though he did far less work than for what they paid him. Frankie will do it because Frankie can. A law to himself is that wall of a man. They'd met on the streetcar en route to the slaughterhouse. She, the young widow, a 6-year-old daughter, and soon they were three, and ere long for her sins, they'd grown now to five, with a pair of boy twins. At school, Margaret learned basic reading and sums, but mostly developed a hatred of nuns, who seemed to delight in a disciplinary code just as ruthless as 'twas arbitrary. They meted out lashings and thrashings, despotic, with a thrill she would later construe as erotic. Constance, who'd routinely knock Margaret's slate to the floor, was monstrous and brimming with hate. The sinister grin of old sister Loretta, who seemed to be driven by some old vendetta, that Margaret tried hard to appease and to fix, although it perplexed her since she was just six. She'd hoped perfect conduct might act as her savior, but truly, no matter what Margaret's behavior, they singled her out for particular violence. And so she adopted a stoical silence.
"You red-headed terror, you want 15 more?"
She'd shake her head slowly, her eyes on the floor. So when she left school, at the age of 11, to work at the factory, it seemed to her heaven. The girls on the line who had hidden and kissed her welcomed her back and told her they'd missed her. Each day she would bathe in a sea of their chatter, 12-hour shifts standing, and it didn't matter. A kerchief concealing her culpable hair, her mother's old shirtwaist, which thrilled her to wear, the great roll of paper they pulled from the wall, the huge spool of butcher's twine, she loved it all. Everything seemed bathed in a heavenly light. Perhaps it was just as a contrast tonight.